Napoleon's Maxims of War. Maxim number 1. The frontiers of states are either large rivers or chains of mountains or deserts. Of all these obstacles to the march of an army, the most difficult to overcome is the desert. Mountains come next, and broad rivers occupy the third place. Note: Napoleon, in his military career, appears to have been called upon to surmount every difficulty which can occur in wars of invasion. In Egypt, he traversed deserts and vanquished and destroyed the Mamelukes, so celebrated for their address and courage. His genius knew how to accommodate itself to all the dangers of this distant enterprise in a country ill adapted to supply the wants of his troops. In the conquest of Italy, he twice crossed the Alps by the most difficult passes, and at a season too, which rendered this undertaking still more formidable. In 3 months, he passed the Pyrenees, defeated and dispersed 4 Spanish armies. In short, from the Rhine to the Boris Denis, no natural obstacle could be found to arrest the rapid march of his victorious army. Maxim number 2. In forming the plan of a campaign, it is requisite to foresee everything the enemy may do, and to be prepared with the necessary means to counteract it. Plans of campaign may be modified ad infinitum, according to circumstances, the genius of the general, the character of the troops, and the topography of the theater of action. Note: sometimes we see a hazardous campaign succeed, the plan of which is directly at variance with the principles of the art of war. But this success depends generally on the caprice of fortune or upon faults committed by the enemy, two things upon which a general must never count. Sometimes the plan of a campaign, although based on sound principles of war, runs the risk of failing at the outset if opposed by an adversary who acts at first on the defensive and then, suddenly, seizing the initiative, surprises by the skillfulness of his maneuvers. Such was the fate of the plan laid down by the Aulic Council for the campaign of 1796 under the command of Marshal Wormser. From his great numerical superiority, the marshal had calculated on the entire destruction of the French army by cutting off its retreat. He found his operations on the defensive attitude of his adversary, who was posted on the line of the Adige and had to cover the siege of Mantua, as well as central and lower Italy. Wormser, supposing the French army fixed in the neighborhood of Mantua, divided his forces into 3 corps, which marched separately, intending to unite at that place. Napoleon, having penetrated the design of the Austrian general, perceived the advantage to be derived from striking the first blow against an army divided into 3 corps with no communication between them. He hastened, therefore, to raise the siege of Mantua, assembled the whole of his forces, and by this means became superior to the imperialists, whose divisions he attacked and beat in detail. Thus, Wormser, who fancied he had only to march to certain victory, saw himself compelled, after 10 days' campaign, to retire with the remains of his army into the Tyrol, after a loss of 25,000 men in killed and wounded, 15,000 prisoners, 9 stand of colors, and 70 pieces of cannon. Hence, nothing is so difficult as to prescribe beforehand to a general the line of conduct he shall pursue during the course of a campaign. Success must often depend on circumstances that cannot be foreseen, and it should be remembered likewise that nothing cramps so much the efforts of genius as compelling the head of an army to be governed by any will but his own. Maxim number 3. An army which undertakes the conquest of a country has its 2 wings resting either upon neutral territories or upon great natural obstacles, such as rivers or chains of mountains. It happens in some cases that only 1 wing is so supported, and in others that both are exposed. In the first instance cited, viz., where both wings are protected, a general has only to protect his front from being penetrated. In the second, where 1 wing only is supported,